gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I know. I have a sore throat.
You sound like crap.
Yeah. All right. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. Speaking of websites, I most of the time I am...
Illiterate?
Drunk.
Yeah.
Drunk.
Oh.
Drunk
okay.
Is the word I'm looking for. And I the plot to get me out of my house has apparently worked. Sexy Liberal Show is... there's going to be tour dates. So, galore.
That's right.
I don't even know how this happened. I fell asleep in a drunken stupor. I woke up. There's a Twitter page, a Facebook page.
The Twitter page is back up, by the way.
Yes.
So just go to twitter.com/sexyliberal.
Yes. And I understand the tickets are going fast and almost gone for Madison a week from Saturday.
That's right.
The Sexy Liberal Show starring Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang.
So get your tickets while you can at barrymorelive.com.
I don't understand. I don't think I gave anyone permission to get me out of my house. I don't understand how this happened. Suddenly, someone sent me a list of a bunch of cities. I'm like, I need to go places? Why wasn't I told?
There's going to be a lot of go-to-meetings.
Holy moly. All right. So you can email us all at the big website. You can see us, ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
I'm waving right now. Hi.
Oh. You know what? I think I got this French Kissing David Bender, but I'm because he was sick a couple of weeks ago. It's a long story. Okay, Representative Loretta Sanchez, Charlie Pierce, and the return of Tuesdays with Tyler. Aisha Tyler joins us all on the big show today. But first of all, if your brain is twisted like a pretzel like mine over all this budget stuff, what did I say first thing this morning? I said, get me the smart one from CNN.
Instead of the bald one?
Yes, get me the smart one. And so it was done. Christine Romans joins us now from CNN's Your Money, author of Smart.
Twitter.com/sexyliberal. Follow. I'm now following.
Yay!
Christine Romans. And you can follow Christine at Christine Romans.
Of course you can.
That's right.
Author of Smart is the New Rich. Hello, smart one.
Hello, how are you? You sound like you had a pack of cigarettes for breakfast.
Yeah, I had a pack of Camels with no filter. Oh, boy. I was smoking road flares on the way in. All right. Now, Hal Sparks, who wrote the foreword to your book, because it calls you the smart one, because, in fact, you are. So now, first of all, give me your take on what just happened and what's going to happen, because this is just only going to get worse, isn't it?
I know. You know, I'll tell you one thing. I wish we weren't having these games of chicken with the budget process. And I think everyone agrees that it shows there's been some failure to get to this point. We had Ken Rogoff from Harvard on our show this morning, and you know he was saying, "Look, this is really now we're talking about the debt ceiling, which is bigger than a $36 billion budget cut. I mean, this is a $14 trillion debt ceiling that sends a message to the rest of the world, the people who are lending us money every single day, so that we can keep going the American way of life. You know, this is all political brinksmanship. This is just not the time or the place for it. And
yeah.
It's a really serious situation. It really is. And the budget part for the continuing resolution was one thing, but you got a 2012 budget and you've got the debt ceiling. These are all big fights ahead.
Well, and as horrible as government shutdown would have been for the economy and everything else, I mean, the debt not raising the debt ceiling is a catastrophe of epic proportions. Am I right?
I tried to get so Jay Carney yesterday in the White House briefing. He said, and he quoted a lot of other people, a bipartisan list of people who said, you know, not raising it would be Armageddon is the word he used. So I asked Ken Rogoff at Harvard on the show today, what does that look like? It looks like a crash in the dollar. It looks like stocks going down. It looks like interest rates going up. It's a default on our debts. It's something that you do not see, and that he doesn't believe we will see, because the people in Washington know this. They know this, and hopefully this is just brinksmanship at this point.
Well, I mean, how do you? Here's the starting point. Boehner yesterday says, the president says I want you to send me a clean bill. Well, guess what, Mr. President? Not a chance you're going to get a clean bill.
Yeah, he said on the debt ceiling, they're going to have to.
So, yes, I am going to play games with the full faith and credit of the United States.
Well, but the president Wednesday. I mean, the president is going to lay out his real deficit reduction plan. I mean, it does put a laser-like focus on what we're going to do longer term to live more within our means and not, you know, borrow to the hilt. You know, I mean, it's going to focus it on longer term. But the fact is that they keep pushing off the long term until there's a crisis right now. And we got to plan for the long term so we're not having these crises one after another. And that's, you know, and that's my big concern. We also talked yesterday with Susan Molinari, who was in the middle of this in 1995, the last time we did it. You know, and it's in 95, for the budget at least, not about the debt ceiling, for 95 we did have a really gangbusters growing economy afterward. You know, we don't know when and if the economy is going to grow very strongly again, but boy, that sure would help.
Well, Christine, here's the other thing. Is obviously, as you said, the president's going to, you know, produce a budget, or excuse me, talk about a budget tomorrow night, but is it just me? My head's going to explode if one more person calls Paul Ryan's budget serious.
You know,
isn't it serious and refreshing? No, it's awful. I mean, I could go take a in Macy's window at lunch hour and people would go, oh, that is very refreshing and bold and courageous of her. Look what she did. But it's awful.
But and you're not going to get me to give you my personal opinion on Paul Ryan's budget, but
of course I am.
I'm trying.
Come on.
But I will tell you that we're asking questions now that we haven't asked in a long time, and that they need to be asked. The question is, when do you start tightening the belt, and how dramatically and how soon with a weak economy? And that is the question here. And also the policy writers. When you start tacking policy writers on things, it looks less like economics and more like politics.
That reminds me of some, you know, does God answer all our prayers? The answer is yes, but sometimes the answer is no. So, yes, he answers them, but the answer is no sometimes. But, I mean, listen, I know what you're saying. I understand. You're trying not to play politics. But, look, even Republican Alan Simpson came out last night and said when they even started this deficit commission, he said, look, President Bush was the biggest spender in the history of this country. He didn't pay for anything. I mean, and, you know, and he's like, all the Republicans are like, oh, but no, we can't agree to that. It's like, well, Christine, this is math. You know, I'm sorry, there are opinions, but this is math.
It's big math. I mean, it's very big math. But in trying to make it simple, what happens here is that people look at the debt ceiling like it is a credit card. And I do it too. I mean, this is how you try to explain it. But American people can't just keep raising their credit card limit. And the American government shouldn't be able to just keep raising its credit card limit, although it does. And so now you have good people who are like, you know, come on, let's just not keep doing this, and may not realize the implications if you play politics with the debt ceiling. But fundamentally, they understand. I mean, polls show that people don't think the U.S. should be spending like this and spending outside of its means. The question is, politically, how do you do that with the least amount of pain, the least amount of pain there is?
And that's
where politics and priorities are different and ideologies clash.
Well, but I mean, I gotcha, but I'm just saying, you know, as someone that understands the economy like you do, you know, the big thing is putting these two wars on the books. I mean, this is, and the tax cuts for the top 1%. I can't even get my mind around Paul Ryan's budget. I'm like, first of all, privatizing Medicare? Okay, you know what would have happened if we'd privatized Social Security, like George Bush wanted us to, right?
You know, the one thing today that Ken Rogoff was saying, to completely dodge your Paul Ryan trying to
thank you. That was very delicate of you.
But that Ken Rogoff said, he's like, you have to take a holistic approach. It has to be everything. It has to be Medicare. It has to be Social Security. It has to be defense spending. It has to be how we're going to how we're going to sustain entitlements going forward. It also has to be just a line item by line item in the budgets, and tax reform, complete and utter tax reform too. I mean, the challenges we have ahead are pretty big. Now, I'm hoping that a country that could, even though it was painful, get health care reform passed, maybe they can do tax reform, and maybe they can do some of these other things.
Now, Christine, I have the smartest listeners in the world, which is why we have you on, because you are the smart one. It's about politics, but it's about negotiating.
Yeah.
Christina, the fine American writes, this is just a tactic. Steph, we should aim for the Eisenhower tax rates, and maybe we end up with the Reagan tax rates. For decades, the Republicans have proposed the most extreme things, and we all balk, oh no, we can't go that far, and we don't. But every time the Republicans get a little piece extra and see where we are now, why are the Democrats apparently so incapable of making a long-term plan and just stick with it? Isn't that hilarious? I mean, that is really true. It's negotiating, because we literally... We keep having this discussion, and literally the tax rates are lower than they were under Reagan, and we're for the rich is what I'm saying.
You know, you make a good point about the politics in general, about what we're learning from each other and what this has taught us, I guess, in that one thing I think is that John Boehner and Barack Obama, the president and the Speaker of the House, know each other better now than they ever have before. And I'm hoping that because of what we've just gone through with the $36 billion, trauma, they get each other now, and that we're going to be able to get through this and actually have some sort of, I'm going to sound like a pie in the sky, but we're going to have some sort of bipartisan approach to real deficit reduction. Oh my God, did I sound like a Sunday school teacher?
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing really hard at you.
Oh, stop it.
No, I'm just hoping that the president has learned, various tavern stories to tell to make him cry and weaken his head.
Do you think John Boehner has given in to the Tea Party elements, or do you think that he's been holding them back, and by holding them back, he's gaining ground with moderates?
I think he's kind of pissed off both of them by compromising with them. So he's pissed off both sides of his party.
I think Eric Cantor is sitting somewhere laughing maniacally in his underground lair.
I don't know. Some moderate Republicans who are on Wall Street, I should make sure I'm totally qualifying it, but they say that they think that Boehner is holding back the Tea Party elements, and that is giving him more standing with the moderates.
Okay.
Interesting.
I don't know. It'll have to play out. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. Christine, you are always just a delight.
As much as you
resist my efforts to drag you down into my political bunker.
The last thing Velshi and I anchored with together from 6 to 9, he's like, hey, don't forget, she's going to try to get you to say conservatives are evil.
that damn bald-headed prophet of doom.
Yeah, he is the prophet of doom.
All right, Christine, thanks so much. We'll see you again real soon.
Bye-bye. There she
goes. They got your number.
Bastard people over at CNN discussing strategy before they come on my show.
Of course.
I got to catch him unaware, like I did Melissa Etheridge the other night. Oh, lots of male people want to know what I said to Melissa Etheridge.
Yeah, I'd like to know what you said to Melissa Etheridge.
Will she ever come on again?
It's
a very fine line between pissing someone off and making them laugh really hard.
Oh, boy.
All right. I'll tell you that story when we get back.
Okay.
18 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-1-2. Stephanie Miller.
I need to move. I need to wake up. I need to change. I need to shake up. I need to speak out. Something's got to break up. I've been asleep. And I need to wake up now.
The official rock star of the Stephanie Miller Show. Melissa Etheridge, who I saw the other night at the GLAAD Media Awards.
That's right.
24 minutes after the hour. Oh, she did confirm once again that she does not let her kids listen to the show.
Do you blame her?
Well, proving once again, gays, better parents.
That's right.
Straight. I'm a dirty little secret. As soon as she shoves them out of the car, though, she just turns us on. Hurry up. Mama's got to hear some fart jokes. All right. So anyway, I went with my house husband, David Bender.
That's right.
To the GLAAD Media Awards.
The guy who made you sick.
Yes. We make out too much.
Yeah.
We know that.
You.
Yeah, it's a happy little family tableau at my house. The other morning, Sunday morning, Max, who weighs about 120, 130 pounds,
right,
my Great Pyrenees, came and laid on top of me, and then Fred, who weighs about 90 pounds, laid on top of him.
Oh.
And then they got into a fight, and I got various facial contusions, and then David jumped in bed, and we all watched Meet the Press. All right.
Do your dogs enjoy Meet the Press?
I don't ask them. I don't care. They think David Gregory's biased, too, against Democrats.
Oh, God.
All right. I'm hopped up on cold medicine. What do I know? Oh, anyway, so a lot of people ask me what I said to Melissa Etheridge because I always walk that line.
Right.
Between they think I'm hilarious or I never get... I frequently, as you know, never get invited back to things.
Well, that's because
I say something to someone that then...
That's because you walk the line between drunk and sober.
Well, I shouldn't leave my house, and when someone succeeds in getting me out, I do something that reconfirms to everybody why I should stay in my house. and just talk to my dog.
And David Bender.
Anyway, well, yes, my house husband. But he was Howard Dean's key advisor, and so he and Melissa, he was reminding Melissa that that's when, you know, that's how she met Howard Dean, that he brought her, you know, into the Deanfold to meet Howard Dean. And I said, that was when you were still thinking, I don't know, I might still want to Dennis Kucinich. And and she laughed, and then she said, no one talks to me the way you do. I don't let anyone. She has a hilarious story, though, because I was joking. I was standing there, and I looked at her at one point. I said, now I understand you're in the music business. And she actually told this story. This is the equivocal proof that everyone in D.C. is an idiot.
Okay.
She was at a party in D.C., and she said, some guy did actually say to me, and what do you do, dear?
Oh, no.
Oh,
I hope it was like an old white man or something.
And she said, this is what I love about her. She said, I'm a rock star. I just love it. She could have been offended, but she just was like, yeah. All right, well, all right, so I got to go.
Not everybody's going to know who you are.
See, I'm trying to, the sexy liberal tour, I'm trying to be Melissa Etheridge. I'm like, I want to go on tour. Hey, maybe I'll sing, Madison, huh?
Oh, no, we want people to purchase tickets, not sell them on eBay.
All right. No, but I got to tell you, this is getting better and better. We will be in Madison with the Sexy Liberals comedy tour a week from Saturday. But looky here. I was getting all these emails from right-wing wacks. Oh, how come you don't mention that the Democratic Observer confirms this, you know, the vote, this Kathy, what's her name?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, did you hear this? The Democratic Observer has put out a statement now.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy in Columbus, the first to send me this one. So the Democratic Observer in, Waukesha, right?
Waukesha, yeah.
County, was not present when the mistake in the vote total was found. Right-wingers have been using this as proof that, oh, this is legitimate and they're just crying foul. And it was not found in the canvas of the vote, but she was told of it, the mistake, just prior to the press conference. Kathleen Nicholas, who said she found it on her personal PC more than 24 hours earlier. So, I mean, this is incredible if you're paying attention to this. The statement and account of Ramona Kitzinger is the Democratic.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, she's 80, and she knows nothing about computers. Just because she was told of the mistake, she doesn't. I mean, they're trying to say, oh, yeah, no, she confirmed all this. Well, here's her part of her statement. She said, I was called into Kathy's office along with Pat, the Republican Observer, and told of an impending 5:30 p.m. press conference. It was at that point I was first made aware of an error Kathy had made in Brookfield City. Kathy didn't offer an explanation as to why she didn't mention anything prior to Thursday afternoon's canvas completion, but showed us different tapes where numbers seemed to add up. I have no idea where the numbers were coming from. I was not told of the magnitude of this error, just that she had made one. I was then instructed I would not say anything at the press conference and was actually surprised when I was asked questions by reporters. Many people are offering my statements now at the press conference that the numbers jibed as validation they are correct, and I can vouch for their accuracy. As I told Kathy when I was called into the room, I'm 80 years old and I don't understand anything about computers. I don't know where the numbers Kathy was showing me ultimately came from. I'm still very, very confused about why the canvas was finalized before I was informed of the Brookfield error, and it wasn't even until the press conference was happening that I learned it was this enormous mistake that could swing the whole election.
Wow.
I was never shown anything that would verify Kathy's statement about the missing vote with how events unfolded, and people citing me as an authority on this. Now I feel I must speak up. Well, good for her. And we'll tell you what Scott Walker had to say about it. Oh, we're going to Madison at the right time.
Yes, we are.
I'm going to hang that Kathy Nicholas upside down and shake those votes out of her. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, that was someone I met from class.
Stephanie Miller.
Ooh, that's way too fancy a name for her. Her name should be Thud or Oof.
34 minutes after the hour. You know, I mentioned Representative Loretta Sanchez and Charlie Pierce next hour.
Yep.
And the return of Tuesdays with Tyler, Aisha Tyler, live in studio with us for all of hour three. But I forgot to mention Ari Berman of The Nation.
Yeah.
Also in hour number three. How awesome.
He's awesome.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. We were talking about we will be in Madison a week from Saturday for Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show, starring Hal Sparks and John Fugel, saying tickets are, I believe, almost gone, is what I'm told. It's crazy.
Yes.
It's craziness. But yeah, it is just unreal what's going on there with this recount in the Joanne Kloppenburg.
Mm-hmm.
Prosser race. So I was saying that this Democratic Observer finally just released a statement saying, I don't know anything about this. They're citing me as saying this is, she was just told of the mistake. She's 80. She doesn't understand anything about computers. And so this is getting fishier and fishier.
Although, if she doesn't know anything about computers, what is she doing observing a big computer?
I guess. Well, exactly.
That's, you know, a question I have.
Well, the problem is, they're trying to use her. I mean, this Kathy Nicholas, an expert there was saying, if there was someone that would be able to do this, technically it would be her. She spent years doing she's a database person, whereas,
sure.
the observers, this poor woman that's like, oh, I don't know, she just told me she made a mistake. Anyway, so Scott Walker runs to Newsmax. Governor Wanker goes over to a right-wing whack website, Newsmax.
They're the National Enquirer of right-wing journalism. Yeah.
To say unions don't want to pull a Franken in the recount. Oh, you mean Senator Al Franken, who won the race
right.
in Minnesota? Oh, I see. You mean they might want the votes counted fairly? What does that mean, pull a Franken? Well, yes, we'd like to pull a Franken. We think that Kloppenburg won.
Won.
Yeah. The Republican governor says there's no way any legitimate recount would result in victory for Prosser's opponent, Joanne Kloppenburg. But that doesn't remove the threat. Under Wisconsin law, organized labor can get a recount if they're working to pay for it. Walker says unions hope to replicate in Wisconsin, quote, what was pulled off with Senator Franken in Minnesota. What a dope.
Pulled off?
Pull off. Is he implying that he didn't actually win the election? Because he did.
He did.
Okay. He promises, though, that Republicans will be on guard against any post-election ballot shenanigans. any attempt to reverse our pre-election ballot shenanigans will not be stood for. That's the Scott Wanker story. We'll just see a thing or two about a thing or two.
Of course he runs.
Mama gets there.
Yeah. Of course he runs to Newsmax. He doesn't go to any website with any kind of journalistic credibility whatsoever.
Oh, it stinks to high heavens, this thing. Jerry in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
I really like your show. I think you need to just make this more serious. I tuned in just when you were making some jokes about it.
Yes.
I don't think the people in Madison are really laughing at this point, or the people in Wisconsin in general. But Chris brings up a really good point.
Jokes. Can I make jokes?
No. You can make jokes.
Aww.
That's what I tune in for your show for sometimes. But this one, this is 2000 all over again. And, before you let me go, I wanted to make a point. Chris is right. What is she doing on this board? Where are our 20- and 30-something-year-olds who are computer savvy? Get in there and dig in and try and combat some of these Republicans stealing elections. Walker doesn't care.
What I was saying is that recounts are elections are very computer-heavy things. And so having someone in there who's might not be all that computer savvy probably isn't the best thing the Democratic Party could have done in this situation.
In this situation, I don't think it mattered because you heard her whole statement. She wasn't there.
Right.
They call her in right before the press conference to say, "Oh, this mistake's been made."
Sure.
"Oh, well, she was confirmed." It's like. Because she was told the mistake was maybe,
Totally understand that, but it sounds like she was kind of befuddled by all of these facts and figures coming at her that were coming out of computers, and so...
Well, right, but that's part of the point, is you can't expect every election worker to be a forensic computer investigator,
right. I know that, but, election results come from computers, so someone should have a little bit of computer know-how.
There was a piece in the LA Times we talked about yesterday. They are investigating, and let's hope.
Yes.
I mean, the problem is, you don't know if there's a way to, if they can get away with this. You don't know what happened, and if an investigator, we had all kinds of data people calling in, right?
Saying, forensic data.
You can
people,
find
yeah.
this, you can't find it. It depends.
I think you can.
Yeah.
But I really hope those computers were seized right away before they could be monkeyed with.
Mm-hmm. Mike in Chicago. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Steph. Jeff. Hey, Chris. You know what? I'm not a scholar in the government judicial process, but shouldn't Eric Holder be involved in this? I mean, as Attorney General, I don't feel safe, not saying anything bad against Wisconsin, but I think they need some major, major players to oversee this investigation.
Well, Mike, you know, this is the thing. I mean, Al Gore conceded. You know, I mean, John Kerry, it's like they looked into Ohio, but were afraid to be, you know, oh, we don't want to be sore losers. When you're right, Mike, this is, along with the budget negotiations, it's how they are different. They're ruthless. And they are you kidding? They would have been all over this. Can you even imagine if this went the other way? If this was a polling place in Madison that, you know, someone that worked in a union was the election that went, oh, I just found 7,000 votes for Joanne Kloppenburg.
I don't think that Holder can actually get all that involved because this is a state issue for a state race, not a federal race.
Right. Well, but I mean, the state is looking into it from what I understand, Mike.
Yeah.
Now, but you know what else? Also, Obama has not mentioned anything about this. I think that's why his base is so furious with him. It's the same as with the union thing. When the unions were out, you know, with pitchforks and torches in the street, he was just whistling past the graveyard like nothing was happening, you know? And he doesn't address it. He doesn't take questions anymore from, you know, remember he used to do open...
Yeah, Mike, I got to say, a lot of people felt like, you know, that he shouldn't necessarily have gone to Madison, that there are... As you know, there's an awful lot going on, including Libya at the time. I don't know that he needs to go, but, but I mean, a Supreme Court justice race, that's not my point. My point is that we as a party need to, I mean, if you read the whole story of what happened in 2000, I mean, this whole Izod revolution and these paid, you know, those are the people, quote-unquote, protesting the vote count. And, you know, I mean, what happens is they seize the public opinion, like, oh, you're going to be seen as a sore loser. It's all over. George Bush already won. I mean, it's just, okay. Andy in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Andy.
Hi. I just wanted you guys to know, I know Jim mentioned something about this before with electronic voting machines, but in Wisconsin, there has to be a verifiable paper trail. So the standard in Wisconsin is the optical scan ballot that they can actually go back and verify.
Right. Well, that's what somebody was saying, Andy, that I don't know at what point they are in this process, but I am hoping that that's true. They're saying that they would have to go back and verify whatever she says is in her computer, her private computer. She won't let anybody see. There must be paper ballots to match up to it, right?
And at the actual voting stations, you know, they have people checking you in manually. So, I mean, there are a lot of different things that are going to have to match up.
And, I mean, can you seriously, can you imagine if this was a polling place in Madison? And it's like, oh, no, that's in my UAW computer. It's my private union computer. You can't look in there.
Funny is,
Kloppenburg votes are in there.
Because I was on some right-wing sites during the night of the election, and just because the vote was close, they were all claiming that the Democrats were going to find votes and steal the election. So it's kind of funny that they project that much.
Yeah, I love that Walker's calling this shenanigans.
Yeah.
this is the election shenanigans, what's happening now. The actual, like, the desire to actually, count the votes and actually match them up to what's in the special, magical private computer of Kathleen Nicholas. What's her name? Nicholas.
Nicholas.
Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson. Hi, Lavender.
Morning, Mama. Morning, Mook.
Good morning.
This morning, I'm also Lavender Pitt, Pima County election worker.
That's right, you are.
I worked several elections for here in Pima County, both at the national, state, and civic level, and they don't even allow you to bring personal laptops into the polling place as a worker. And they're really snotty about cell phones with smartphone capability, but they know they can't take people's phones away. Computers of any variety that aren't certified by the election board are not allowed in the room.
Right. Well, I mean, plus she's already been reprimanded over this before. And
And the votes that do come in, from my own experience, I'll tell you, 99.9% of the votes that I've witnessed cast are done on scantrons that you can actually find a paper trail for.
Sure.
People come into my ward, look at that Diebold machine, and it's like it's two-day-old cat food.
Exactly. All right, Lavender, thank you. That's why we put everybody on skates, election workers. She's the roller derby queen. I wonder if she does it on skates, you'd get the results sooner.
Although I think...
Let's put everybody on Acme rocket skates.
I don't think that 80-year-old Democratic election worker would do too well.
Ike in Charleston, South Carolina. Hi, Ike.
Hey there. Calling you from the sound of the guns. They're celebrating down here for some reason. I never have figured it out. But two quick things, Madison. Number one, isolate the 7,500 votes, match them up with the paper ballots, fingerprint them, and see if anybody else's fingerprints are on them besides the people that counted them. Ooh, if the voters' fingerprints aren't there, then that means, guess what? They never touched the ballot.
Look at
number
you, Columbo.
You should automatically already have that woman on a lie detector. Right now.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't, well, you know what, let's talk, we got Tom, who's an attorney there. I mean, again, I don't know what is legally allowable at this point. Tom, in Wisconsin, all, hello.
Hey, Stephanie, yeah, first of all, lie detectors are not allowed right. in any court. It would only be right. good for maybe finding out if they need to delve into it more. But I did want
well,
to
ask her
that,
if she'll come on my show and, on a lie detector to talk about
she
this.
She will, she seems reasonable.
Yes.
But I wanted to let you know that U.S. Representative Tammy Baldwin from the 2nd District in Wisconsin has already sent a letter to Eric Holder
okay.
asking him to invest.
Wow.
So I just wanted to update
so,
you on
Tom,
that.
Give me the update in what's going on. I know I read the L.A. Times piece this weekend that there is an investigation, a review. What does that mean? What does that entail?
Well, what's happening is the Government Accountability Board, which is basically the state organization in charge of elections, has sent investigators there. They've got boots on the ground. The problem is they have not, to my knowledge anyway, at least that they've released, seized any computers. They haven't seized any ballots. They haven't impounded anything. And that really concerns me and a lot of people because...
Why not? Why haven't they?
Yeah. I don't know. I assume it's because they're thinking that they don't have enough reason to. But
or they've been bribed.
Well, that could be. Although, I do have to say the guy in charge of this, Kevin Kennedy, he's an attorney, and he's been there for about 20 years. He's very respected. So I kind of trust him. But here's the thing. They're focusing on Brookfield, the city of Brookfield, matching numbers with what Kathy said the numbers were. And it goes beyond that. They have to look all over because if they're going to do this, if they were going to do this, they had to take those ballots and spread them out all over the other wards and then say, hey, where are the Brookfield ballots? So if they just count Brookfield and say, well, there's 14,000 that Brookfield submitted and here's 14,000 that Kathy put in, it's going to match and that would be the end of the investigation, but it wouldn't say anything. Mm. So they really need to spend some time with this and
yeah.
seize those computers and
yep.
get her the hell out of there.
Yeah.
I can't believe she's been there.
I know. Exactly. All right, Tom. Thank you, honey. Hey, Jim Ward's here early. How
what?
Exciting is this?
I have a gig in Santa Monica at 9:30.
Okay.
So I, have to leave
I had a feeling
so.
It was.
Yes.
And nothing comes free. All right. 40...
That's okay. We have Aisha Tyler. We can just replace him with Aisha.
Exactly.
We replace Jim with Aisha Tyler.
We Aisha Tyler
replace the white
crystals.
Cracker with, Folger, with Aisha Crystals.
47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes. I'm on Full Metal MOOC. Jim Ward here early. It's the Christmas candle. It's a tiny bit early this morning.
Of course, I also have to leave a little bit early for...
Yeah, I knew that it wasn't altruism on your part. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Lori in Chicago on the shenanigans in Wisconsin,
morning,
as they
kids.
Call them.
You know, prior to being elected county clerk, let's not forget corrupt Kathy was given immunity in a political corruption trial.
Yeah.
Wow.
She spread flags all over that woman.
Yeah.
You know, prior to taking office, let's not forget that.
Yep.
You know, the pattern started long ago.
Yep, absolutely. Let's go to Kim in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nobody's talking about Justice Prosser is going to be turning 70 years old late next year. And 70 years old is a mandatory retirement date for justices in Wisconsin. So if Walker's not recalled, he could appoint somebody even more vile than Prosser. But on the other hand, if Walker is recalled, if Prosser stays in office, he could be replaced by somebody much more on the liberal side.
Yikes. Okay. Well, that's why you should go to unitedwisconsin.com, and some of the proceeds from the Sexy Liberal Show are going there. That's behind the recall of Walker and the Republican 8. Let's go to Marty in Madison. Hi, Marty.
Hello, Steph.
Hi.
Hey, here's the thing about Waukesha and that area over there. Half those people are snowbirds. And if anybody doesn't know what a snowbird is, these people, as soon as it snows, they take off to Florida or, you know, Arizona. Someplace nice and warm. So all these ballots come in. Are these people even in the state? You know, you got to think about it like that. You know, where are all these votes coming from? Oh, you know, Sue from down the street voted. Well, she's not even in the state. Well, how did she vote? Did she vote absentee? No, but she has a ballot.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, all right. We will stay on top of that whole story, obviously. All right. So the congressional leaders obviously managed to avoid a government shutdown. They got a budget for the next 6 months. So we haven't seen the exact details yet. Details of the plan have yet to emerge. The House expected to vote on the plan tomorrow and the Senate on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Some lawmakers tell CBS News they're still waiting to see the details before deciding how to vote. So still might not be over. At least some House Republicans have said publicly they can't support the deal in keeping with the teabagger demands that they want even larger cuts. Rush Limbaugh says the Republicans caved on the budget deal. It is expected to pass with bipartisan support. Nevertheless, serves as a prelude to.
They refused to put in a bill where babies would be put on spears and fed to me live.
Yes,
they caved.
That was the rider that he'd been hoping for.
Great.
It's the Rush Limbaugh snack rider.
I need live babies. I must feed my friends.
Oh, I think he consumed a Mrs. Giuliani.
Yes.
Wait a minute. That was her act.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Go not mock me. Baldy.
What was her name?
Judy.
Judith.
Judy Giuliani, yeah.
Judith. Your Judithness.
It's her Judithness. Oh, I missed her.
Yeah.
She's delightful. She's said to be prickly.
I've heard.
Somewhat difficult.
Somewhat difficult. Ceasing from my side.
Yeah, this is all cattywampus. Yeah, Limbaugh said, we've shown that we'll cave. We've demonstrated that we'll cave if they threaten something like government shutdown. Except nobody on the left was threatening government shutdown.
Right.
They were. And now they're using the debt ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, Jim, yet another hostage crisis. Mm. The President's carny.
The speech will, once again, demonstrate the President's seriousness about deficit reduction. And he hopes that it will signal to members of Congress in both parties that he wants to work with them in a bipartisan way.
In other words, cave more.
I heard a lot of a commentator or two yesterday saying that they think this is very smart of the President politically to let Paul Ryan go first with his...
Sure.
Awful plan.
Let's see what you got.
Why didn't David Gregory ask him that? Oh, well, privatizing Medicare. What a delightful idea. How would that have gone if we'd done that with Social Security under George Bush? Remember that? How would that have gone? I mean, can I just say, I was thinking that the other day. That's like one of the only disasters we avoided under George W. Bush in a presidency filled with disasters. Iraq.
At least they didn't privatize.
9/11. Hurricane Katrina response. Privatizing Social Security was, thank God, the one disaster.
Right.
Can you imagine? All of our parents would be eating eye sockets and holes cat food at this point.
You bleep the right word.
Wow, amazing.
You would just have to bleep part of it. It doesn't matter which one. You hole.
She meant jack hole.
Yes.
Jack wagon.
Yes.
In words of Lee Ermey.
Weed? You stick?
Oh, dear.
All right. But, I mean, honestly, I mean, how can anybody take this plan, Paul Ryan plan, seriously? I mean, really? Oh, how do you think that would have worked? I mean, you can prove that it would have been a disaster,
mm-hmm.
as it would be if he destroyed Medicare. I don't. All right. So the president's carny on the...
He very much believes that this can produce real legislation, tangible results.
Before the election?
Correct. Before the 2012 election, absolutely.
All right. And David Plouffe was on Meet the Press as well this past Sunday.
The whole layout has approached this week in terms of
the scale of debt reduction he thinks the country needs so we can grow economically and win the future. A balanced approach. Obviously, we need to look at all corners of government.
I think we need to clean out the corner of government that Paul Ryan is in. How about that? All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Representative Loretta Sanchez next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, that remains to be seen.
This is... He's got to counteract even the bump song.
Yeah.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Napa. Napa know-how. 6 minutes after the hour, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. Ustream.tv/StephanieMiller. You can see us. Hi there. Okay. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number. Oh, looky here. You know, Jim, I've often said it seems like some politicians, they only tell the truth once they're not in office anymore. Who said at the Republican Party, we've got homophobes in our party? That's disgusting to me. If they're going to get off on that stuff, Rick Santorum has said some cruel, cruel things about homosexuals. Ask him about it. See if he attributes the cruelness of his remarks years ago. Foul. I'm not sticking with people who are homophobic, anti-women, moral values, while you're diddling your secretary, while you're giving a speech on moral values. Come on, get off of it. Who said that?
Warren Harding.
No! Former Republican Senator Alan Simpson.
Yeah, I've heard that. Every once in a while, he says something.
Yes. And he said President Bush was the highest spending president we've ever had. He didn't pay for anything.
Why don't these people say this while they're in office?
Yeah, exactly.
Please.
That being said, he has some awful ideas on deficit. All right. Somebody telling the truth while they're in office, Representative Loretta Sanchez, our homegirl of the great state of California. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Well, you, speaking of telling the truth, so I'm watching, Senator John Kyle on TV during the budget thing saying, Planned Parenthood, 90% of what they do is abortion. So you and I know that 3% of what Planned Parenthood does is abortion. And literally, his office puts out a statement, well, what he said wasn't meant to be factual. I mean, isn't that admitting we are willing to lie to try to make, to win? I mean, how do you fight that?
And now you understand the problem that Democrats have. I mean, we believe in facts. We believe in telling the truth. We believe in the nuances and the gray areas of whatever we're trying to negotiate and pass and work on. And these guys are just talking points and lies, and I mean, to say that 97% of what Planned Parenthood does is abortions is just the biggest lie in the world. And he got caught at it.
Yeah, I mean, and we were just saying before the break, Rush Limbaugh apparently thinks the Republicans caved on the budget deal. I don't know how getting more than you originally asked for and two-thirds of, you know what I mean? I mean, I think a lot of Democrats are frustrated right now with how this is going, you know? I mean, and what's going to happen in the big battle with the debt ceiling. What's your take on it?
Absolutely. I mean, we're frustrated with a whole bunch of stuff, especially in the House, as you know, because the play is really whether Boehner can hold on to his Republicans to try to push things through. And so we try. We're sitting here trying to be thoughtful about legislation, trying to keep a safety net for a majority of Americans, and they sit there and they drum the same thing. Oh, we're in a deficit. This is going to hurt our children, our grandchildren. We need to cut spending now. What they're not saying is the kind of spending they're talking about cutting are education programs for our children, Pell grants and student loans for our children. We're talking about our children today. The spending they're trying to cut is about our children today. not our children in the future, about getting our children an education, about keeping our children healthy so they can grow up to be productive American citizens.
The one thing that made me hopeful this morning, nearly 6 in 10 Americans, that's almost 60%, Jim, approve of the 11th hour budget deal struck between Congress and the White House to avert a shutdown, according to a CNN poll. What's more, a plurality gives Democrats the most credit for making this happen. So 58% say they approve of the deal, 48% credit Obama and congressional Democrats for the most for preventing the government shutdown. While majorities of both Democrats and independents support the compromise, a plurality of Republicans dislike it, with fully half of them saying their party gave up too much ground in the deal. I mean, it really is like we're in some sort of parallel universe the way we're seeing things right now, right?
Absolutely. It's interesting because, there are 89 new Republican members. About 80 of them defeated incumbent Democrats. So, I always approach this as they won an election the same way I did. Elections are tough to win. You know, to be a member of the House, there are three requirements. You have to be a citizen for at least 7 years. You have to be at least age 25, and you have to win an election. The tough part is winning an election. Okay, so I give them credit for winning an election. They came here the same way I did. So I'm going over. I'm sitting down with them. I'm introducing myself. I'm visiting with them. I'm trying to get, you have to form relationships in order for you to be able to pass legislation. But out of their mouths continue to come the same thing. It's unconstitutional. Mm. Everything to them is unconstitutional. It's unconstitutional. It's unconstitutional. It's unconstitutional.
I don't know how you start a conversation with some of these Tea Party people. Sanchez, can I see your papers? I don't believe you're a congresswoman. Can I see your birth certificate?
Yeah. Well, no. I mean, come on. I know how to get along with people. Yeah. I go over. I start joking. I'm like, hey, what's your name? My name is Mo. Okay, Mo. Munster, how are you doing, baby? What are we going to do today? What are you voting on? What's your interest? What can we work on together? Well, Loretta, it's unconstitutional. And,
Yeah, this is a new breed. This really is. I'm going to give you a tip. Here's a negotiating tip from I have the smartest listeners in the world. For this next battle, you go in and say, we want the Eisenhower tax rates. We want, and then maybe we'll end up with the Reagan tax rates, which are still higher than the rich are paying now. What do you think? Say we want 90%. That's the tax rate we want again.
Look, I will tell you something. Bush's own comptroller, the one that Bush appointed, Comptroller Walker, has said over and over, he has it in his book, he's doing his, he's going around the nation trying to talk to people about what these deficits and debt mean. 70% of the reason we have debt in the 8 years of Bush is because of the tax cuts he gave to the rich.
That's right.
Said in another way, Bush gave tax cuts, which meant we didn't get revenue, and that's why we went into debt. So we have to bring tax. We have to get revenue in by taxes. You cannot spend on a credit card in your normal family situation and wake up one day and say, I know how I'm going to do this. I'm going to stop working so I don't get my paycheck every month. I mean, when you eliminate taxes, you eliminate the monies you need to pay down the debt.
Yeah. Well, and the president apparently is going to put that on the table tomorrow night. And it just, it is just absolutely a no-brainer. I mean, Paul Ryan's budget makes no sense to me. How do you further cut taxes on the rich from where they are now and destroy Medicare and think that's a path? They're calling it the roadmap to ruin, aren't they?
Well, I hope people understand what Medicare is. Look, there's a reason we passed Medicare as a Congress many, many years ago, and that was that people over age 65 were not able to buy private health care insurance from companies because guess what? Older people cost money when it comes to health care because you wear down over time. You lose money. If you're a private company, you don't want to insure older people. You want to insure young people who don't have any problems.
Yeah.
That's how you make profits. So that's why the federal government said, we have to make a program that will insure older Americans. Now, the Paul Ryan thing says, listen, I'm going to do you a big favor. I'm going to give you a $3,000 voucher for the year. Go and buy your health care from a private health care company. What's that come to, like $270 a month?
Yep.
So where can you buy a premium for $270 a month? Where can you get health care for that? You can't.
Yep.
If you're over 65, you're talking about $1,500, $2,000, $2,500 premium a month.
Yep.
If you can get it.
Yep. I know. Absolutely. All right. You sound almost as exacerbated by his budget as I am. And that makes me feel better. Representative Loretta Sanchez, we will listen to the president tomorrow night and talk again, I'm sure. Thanks so much.
Great. Thanks
All right.
so much, Stephanie.
There she goes. Representative Loretta Sanchez. Since California. I don't know. My voice is going to hold out for the rest.
Yeah,
you.
What's going on
Walter,
with you, B. Arthur?
I just wanted to
Suzanne Plachette.
That's the wrong.
Going to find you on the steps of the schoolhouse with your eyes pecked out.
Andy in Pennsylvania.
By the birds.
Hello, Andy.
Yeah.
Andy.
How are you doing today?
Good.
Okay, that's good. About this thing going on in Madison, you know, I can't think or explain how extremely important I think it is. Investigation would be on that, simply because you got the governor of Wisconsin, the governor of Michigan, the governor of Indiana, the governor of Ohio, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Maine, all like Tea Party extremists trying to assume dictatorial authority in their states.
Yeah, you're absolutely Walker, right. It's bigger than Wisconsin, and that's why.
Yeah, and if Scott Walker can get away with this, it's like a domino effect.
Well, mm-hmm. right, and if we don't have election integrity, what do we have?
They're calling it Walkershaw County now. And in 2004, during the presidential election, they reported an incredible 97.63 voter turnout.
Yeah, percent.
Yeah.
Why, that's unprecedented.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeff in Minneapolis.
All of them went.
Good morning,
all.
Really?
Well,
to Bush. Jeff in Minneapolis. Hi, Jeff.
Good morning, all. How are you?
Good.
Good. I'm just going to say this, and then I want to hear your response. Okay, people talk about Medicare being fiscally unsound, and I'm fairly young and very healthy. I don't drink. I don't smoke anything. I have no insurance, but I would love to have insurance, just in case. But I don't want to pay, you know, $350 a month for something that doesn't kick in until I reach $10,000. So my point being that the simple way to make Medicare fiscally sound would be to open it up to everybody, because
people like me
buy into it, and we don't take anything out of it.
Exactly. Right. Medicare for all. Mm-hmm. Ding, ding, ding,
exactly.
ding.
That's fiscally sound.
Yeah, that's what Jim and I say whenever you hear them on the right wing blustering. What they're trying to get is Medicare for all. I'm like,
yes.
Really?
Everyone pays
Obama is playing chess.
Including healthy people.
All right.
By the way, Stephanie, the chat room at ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller, they love your Aunt B impression.
Andy! I didn't think anyone even got it.
Yes!
Andy! No! It's for the queen now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Listen, the important thing is Iceland's penis museum has finally gotten a human specimen.
What?
Thank God. I was up all night thinking about that.
Was it full of whale penises?
I will
and
tell
stuff?
You the whole story when we continue.
This is breaking news.
I will wait while Melissa Etheridge gets her children out of the car, and then we'll come
what
back.
What time does she get her children out of the car so we can start getting ribald?
Ribald.
Melissa, call us. Tell us what time the kid-free zone is.
Is that from eating radiated rye bread?
18 minutes after the hour, the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm. 23 minutes after the hour.
What?
1-800. I'm just reading these details. 1-800 Steph12, the phone number, toll free. Well, listen, someone said, you know, we, do all the breaking news here, Science Stack, whatever, and you'll be happy to know Iceland's penis museum has finally gotten a human specimen. In life, Paul Arson was an attention seeker. In death, the 95-year-old Icelander's pickled penis will be the main attraction at one of the world's most bizarre museums.
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled penises?
Say that 10 times.
Say Sigurdur Hjartarson in 10 times.
Yeah, exactly.
Hjartarson.
He runs
Phallological Museum.
It's a phallological museum. That you can read
about
phallus.is. Is in the tiny Icelandic fishing town. Well, maybe it's tiny compared to Paul Aronson's giant, you know.
Schrantz.
Apparently. Mm. He says Aronson's organ will help complete his extensive collection of whale, seal, bear, and other mammalian members.
Wow. You got to be pretty confident to compete with a whale.
Sure. His Hyacinth Aronson has long waited for a human specimen to round out his display. He says that Aronson, a friend of his.
Oh!
By the way, can I have your pickled penis when you die? How do you bring that up?
Well, I'm not sure he was bringing it up at that point.
That's a grapefruit juice. And by the way,
he agreed to having his penis donated after his death. The medical director of a hospital.
Paul, I have your willy when you drop dead?
Yeah, yeah, I just wonder when is that over? Probably over cocktails. You know what I'm saying? I don't know when you just decide to.
Really?
cocktails. What? Stephanie.
That's redundant.
The medical director of the hospital there said the operation was carried out in January under the supervision of a doctor at a local morgue.
Schwanz means tail, by the way.
Oh, oops.
So. Oh, thank you, Jim. All right.
Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peckers?
Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of whale penises.
oh, no.
Why did I have an image of Alan Simpson when I was reading that story? I don't really know.
Why?
I don't.
You're picturing his.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry, because we're just talking about him, and it's.
You're all weird.
Right, 95-year-old pickled. All right. Anyway, my point is, you remember, that was one of my favorite stories ever. Was crushing. Remember, when you go on those whale washing trips?
Yes.
Oh, you're not supposed to go in mating season, and yes. Somebody was actually crushed to death by a whale penis.
Yeah.
Because the whale flipped over and,
got a little frisky.
Probably hurt the whale, too.
I'm just saying.
Can you imagine if...
I hope I die in a really funny way like that. I just do. It's like the Chuckles the Clown funeral. And someone has to get up and say, Stephanie was crushed by a giant whale penis. And then, who would be able to...
Lots of giggles.
Yes!
Yeah.
You would be able to make people laugh in death as well. And I love that story. My mother would be horrified. That would be an added benefit. Okay, Thomas in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Thomas.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to make a quick comment. By the way, longtime listener, love you all.
Thank you.
But,
you would be sad, wouldn't you? You would be sad if I were crushed by a giant whale penis.
I would be very sad, yes. However, I would laugh.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate it.
I'm sorry to say that. Regarding, I'm very glad that you are newly fertile again.
Thank you.
From Hal Sparks.
Yes, Sparks reactivated my eggs.
Yes. However, I have to point out one kink in your plan here. You want to have a love child with either Hal Sparks or John Tugesing.
Maybe both on the Sexy Liberal Tour, because then it would be an even sexier Liberal Tour.
Well, you know what sucks about that is that you do realize that you would have to stop drinking for 9 months.
That's true.
Yeah, that's kind of a non-starter for me.
And you'd be saddled with a child.
Listen, our mothers didn't stop in the 60s. Why our 50s? Why should I stop? I'm just going to keep downing boxes of wine and cans of tuna. Woo! I turned out fine. Our mothers didn't stop drinking.
You would not have the patience to raise a child. You really wouldn't. You're so ADD.
All right. Jim, have you prepared? I would like you to give the eulogy when I am... crushed by a giant whale penis. Just if you want to start spitballing your thoughts.
I'm not touching that.
We are gathered here. Just come on. Just spitball. We are gathered here because Stephanie...
In honor of our fallen compatriot, Stephanie Miller, who was crushed by giant willy. Tempting. No, do it
in a funny voice. Do it as, I don't know. We'll figure it out. Either Kim Jong Il or Tom Brokaw will do my eulogy.
Oh my God.
Your eulogy. Stephanie Miller got a little frisky with a big whale. That was not a good idea. And she was crushed by the gigantic whale weary.
You know what? I think I may actually go out and try to get killed by a giant whale penis just so at least one dream will be fulfilled in my life.
I wouldn't like that.
At least I will have a really funny death.
I wouldn't like that because I'd be out of a job. That's my concern.
Maybe the whale is hiring.
I'm sure. Sparks will find room for you. Jim in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show real quick. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Stephanie.
Go ahead.
Here's what puzzles me about the GOP/Tea Party philosophy. A lot of millionaires do not have overseas businesses. They have only in America. So what you're telling your colleagues is, hey, let's go ahead and pick on the middle class. Let's make them more poor. Let's pick on old people. Let's pick on child care and education.
Yep, absolutely. Right back with Charlie Pierce.
You see, women are a lot like Saturday Night Live sketches. Lots of them are awful, some are decent, and a few are pretty good. But then there's that one. That one woman who's as amazingly perfect as Massive Head Wound Harry. For me, that woman is...
Stephanie Miller.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, look, just in time, fodder for the naysaying Charlie Pierce. Why, Julie says, Steph, look at this from the Associated Press. It appears Obama outsmarted the boner. What a surprise. Obama prevents cuts to favorite programs. A close look at the government shutdown, dodging agreement to cut federal spending by $38 billion. That lawmakers significantly ease the fiscal pain by pruning money left over from previous years using accounting sleight of hand and going after programs President Obama had targeted anyway.
I saw that.
Oh, boner, 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 boner. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America. Pierce. Pierce. Charlie Pierce, the funniest writer in the world, from the Boston Globe.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Hi, I'm sorry, I'm a little tired. Drunken AIDS to Tim Pawlenty kept knocking on my door all night thinking they lived here. You know, it's really, door-to-door campaigning is very important in the Iowa caucuses.
Yes.
But there's got to be a better way than getting sockless and thinking that the girl you met at the bar lives in the house.
Oh. Apparently when she's too young to vote yet.
Apparently when she, also when she's 14 is a bad thing.
Yes. Wow. Yes, indeed. So, Charlie Pierce.
Hi.
Hi. I mean, you know, I was saying it's like we're in some parallel universe where, you know, Rush Limbaugh says the Republicans caved. On the budget deal. Obviously, some in the Democratic base not happy with, you know, but I was reading this a CNN poll that, you know, people largely, the vast majorities approve of the budget deal, they credit the president and Democrats for avoiding the shutdown. Do you think he's winning on some of the politics of this?
Man, as much probably. As, I mean, people always love winning. Things that are bipartisan. You know, that as long as you can prove something is bipartisan, people will automatically like it. My criteria is, right now, what do the Democrats have that they didn't have before? And what do the Republicans have that they didn't have before? The Republicans have $38 million, more or less, in cuts they didn't have
billion.
Before.
Mm-hmm.
Billion, excuse me. Mm-hmm. The Democrats have stuff they already had. So I think on the policy level, in terms of negotiations, I think the Republicans win. Do the Democrats win on the optics? Probably, because people love the word, people love, because it makes people, you know, people would prefer that other people are getting along, basically.
Yeah.
I think as a baseline, we're all, you know, we're all fundamentally happy, clappy people, and we would like everyone to be.
Right.
So yeah, I think he's winning on the political optics of this thing? Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Well, what's, right. I mean, you,
well, somebody,
what tomorrow?
Oh, that grumble in the background.
Oh, that's
that
Jim grumbling. What,
Jim does that.
I feel like I'm crying. Who's crossing my bridge?
Charlie, tomorrow night,
yeah.
The president, obviously, though, going to put tax cuts for the rich back on the table, which, you know, I have heard some people saying, hey, the president was smart to make Paul Ryan go first with his monstrosity. I mean,
yeah, so now we can get back to the fundamental bipartisan baseline of the Cat Food Commission. And somebody fairly close to me and probably wearing my underwear said this was going to happen 6 months ago. But
yeah. Well, yeah. I was saying,
I mean, those are your two acceptable polls in American discourse, right? First of all, nobody cares about the deficit. Let's stop right
well,
now.
What, as somebody, a listener basically said, and I thought, you know, it's not as a joke, but he should come out and say, I want the Eisenhower tax rates tomorrow, and then maybe we'll end up with the Reagan tax rates.
You know what? That makes as much sense as going along with Simpson Bowles, which, by the way, wasn't a, when you hear it referred to as a commission recommendation, it wasn't. Because the commission couldn't agree on anything.
They couldn't agree. But But I mean, you got to give Alan Simpson some credit for saying the first thing he said was George Bush is the highest spending president in our history. He didn't pay for anything. That has to be the baseline of a kind. And of course, Republicans could, we're not going to say that. What? No, this guy's three times worse. And it's like, provably, he's not. You know, you're just putting the wars on the books or what, you know, made the deficit go up. And the other big part of it is tax cuts for the rich, which have got to go.
Well, yes, but does anybody in this room with a pulse and a functioning central nervous system believe that the president is going to put tax increases on the table during an election year?
Hmm.
Come on.
For the rich. I mean,
what? Oh, please stop right now. I will if he does that, I will believe he will ride to his second inaugural on a unicorn.
This is not
an Obama thing. Unfortunately, there's not a Democrat alive except maybe Bernie Sanders who would do that. It won't happen.
Chris Lavoie has it right here in front of me. President Obama is about to put tax cuts for the rich on the table tomorrow night.
According to some reports.
There they are on the table. Oh, they're still on the table.
Mm-hmm. They're not enacted. Yeah.
They're not enacted.
Seriously, someone has to have Paul Ryan, you know, instead of sucking up to him how courageous and serious this budget is how it possibly makes sense to give tax rich people further tax cuts.
And if the president goes out of his way tomorrow night to hang the Paul Ryan budget around every Republican's neck, I'll be overjoyed. I don't think he's going to do that either.
Well,
that thing should be an albatross. That thing should define the Republican Party for the next 50 years.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because it is absolutely their wish list.
Ryan's
not an outlier in his party.
But why don't the David Gregorys of the world say, really, privatize Medicare? Well, how would that have worked if we'd done that with Social Security?
Because they want to do it to Social Security, too, but that's not here nor there.
Right.
Because none of those people care. None of your David Gregorys and your Beltway media mavens live in a world where they understand what it's going to be like if the 72-year-old caregiver of a 78-year-old Alzheimer's patient has to go out and shop for money on the private insurance market.
Mm-hmm.
These people are set for life. Paul Ryan's set for life. Paul Ryan's got a Cadillac healthcare plan.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how my 88-year-old Republican mother, who doesn't know how to operate a telephone answering machine, doesn't have a computer. Really? You're going to have her go out and,
see, by the way, this is off topic. Did you see the Democratic woman on the canvassing board in Waukesha?
Yeah, we talked about that last hour.
Yes.
Who gave the woman cover right at the start.
Right,
right.
Turns out she's 80 years old and doesn't know how to use a computer.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right, and she finally spoke out because she said they're using me. I was just told seconds before the press conference that there had been a mistake.
She was told not to talk about it.
Did anybody read that at the time? Because I saw it and I said, well, it's probably just incompetence because here's this Democratic woman and you know, she says that, you know, that this looks legit. I didn't realize this woman was 80 years old and didn't use computers.
Right.
Yeah, and was just told, oh, there's been a mistake. She said, I had no idea, you know,
She was told minutes before press conference.
I was then instructed I would not say anything at the press conference and was actually surprised when I was asked questions by reporters. She was told not to talk about it.
Yeah.
She didn't understand the magnitude of what had happened until much, much later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So speaking of 80-year-old mothers and computers.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, you know,
the Ryan thing is sadistic. It's appalling.
I know. No, and
it's an embarrassment to industrial democracy after the year 1895.
Yeah, I mean, if I have to see one more Republican on Meet the Press with their stupid little charts, thinking that proves, you know. I mean, whatever happened, remember Michelle Bachmann just went on with some chart, and you know, about somehow Obama stole all this money and this last budget and they want it back. And it's like nothing, but he didn't even challenge her on, and it, of course, turned out to be just a complete load of, you know.
Well, no, I think you're dealing with a political elite, both in the business of politics and in my business, that is so detached from the way ordinary people are living out there now. And I include in this anybody who adheres to the Simpson-Bowles plan, because that's almost as bad, that they don't know the way ordinary people are living their lives. The country's in the middle of an economic disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't care what the stock market's doing. And I don't, you know, and frankly, as I said earlier, nobody cares about the deficit. The people who care about the deficit are all in the 202 area code. When people care about the deficit out in the world, they care about it as a kind of representation of stuff they don't like.
Yeah.
They don't like welfare, so it's the deficit. They don't like, military spending, so it's the deficit. Nobody really cares about the deficit.
So now the next hostage
crisis. By the way, Paul Ryan doesn't either.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I know. And now the next, exactly, or he wouldn't be, giving tax breaks, more tax breaks to the rich. I mean, it's ludicrous. But, now we're going to be in this next hostage crisis, obviously, with the debt ceiling. And again, here's a party that voted how many times under George Bush to raise the debt ceiling, but now they're going to hold, the full faith and credit of the United States, hostage, right? In this next...
Absolutely, and I wish the President of the United States would say what you just said.
Oh, well, let me get that. Let me get off the phone with you and call him immediately.
With all due respect to your political acumen, Stephanie, you don't need to be Mark Hanna to figure out that's what you're supposed to say right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the politics of this are so freaking obvious.
Yeah,
I almost went to a satellite radio place there for a second. I'm sorry.
I felt the screeching brakes.
I have satellite radio now, and I listen to talk shows.
Yeah,
you can F-bomb on satellite radio.
You could say all seven words.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that.
Yes,
indeed. How is that possible?
But thank you for stopping at the precipice.
No.
It's under freaking leaveable.
Good word, precipice, by the way. It sounds like something you'd see in one of those old Swedish porn films that would have the sex intercut with the doctor in the lab coat going, she's on the precipice right now, and you'll see the precipice right here.
And so, you would know this
you
how?
You guys probably never saw any of those. Never mind.
Being from the Boston area and Boston Globe, I can only imagine the sizzling excitement you feel from Mitt Romney's
Mittens.
Big announcement.
Mittens is back. We're so happy.
Who let the dogs out?
Somebody noticed, by the way, that his fancy logo with the R as the American flag. I don't know if you've seen the new logo with
no.
the white and blue R. It looks just like the Aquafresh label.
Yeah, he's a wow. I mean, I'm reading more and more stories about just Republicans outwardly, saying we got nobody.
what's really funny up here is Deval Patrick and the Democrats are putting together an all day celebration of the passage of Romneycare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
we really like it here.
Yeah,
we think Romneycare is cool.
And we've got Deval Patrick on the show next week.
That's right. He's touring a book, right?
That's right.
Yes.
Well, tell him I said hi.
I will.
Yeah, I mean, here's Romney's. It's funny in the announcement of the exploratory committee, which, as you know, I love. It's the note in class. Do you like me? Check yes or no.
have you touched it? Yes. No. Maybe.
Yeah. But here's his problem. Down in the AP story in 2003, he took over as governor of Massachusetts. In a campaign in which he cast himself as a moderate on abortion, gay rights, and stem cell research, he sounded many of the same themes during a race against Ted Kennedy. He tried to run to the right of the pack last time, but couldn't persuade Republican primary voters to overlook his reversals on social issues, including abortion and gay rights. He also struggled to allay skeptics of his Mormon faith. Right?
He has about 9 strikes against him with the Tea Party. The gayer than Ted Kennedy is going to come up at least 50. But this guy, I'm telling you, don't stay with the old stuff. This guy has an almost limitless capacity to make himself look ridiculous.
Yeah.
I've never seen a politician like this.
Well, he looks like
please, cue up the video of Who Let the Dogs Out Again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who Let the Dogs Out?
To say nothing of the dog on the roof. Telling Brian Mooney from the Boston Globe that when he was doing his Mormon mission in Provence, I might add, he really wanted to be in Vietnam.
Oh, God.
Sure. Really?
Yeah, Charlie, you're absolutely right. It's not just that he looks like clip art. It's just people smell phony from a mile away. You just go, he's phony.
I mean, I don't hold with a lot of what's in that book, Game Change. But one of the things that's in it that I find interesting is that by the third primary, the last time around, everybody in the field hated him.
I know.
I hated him.
I know. I love it. I love it.
Well, at least I'm profoundly shallow. I'm shallow to the bone.
He's still got a lot of money. He's still got an organization in place, which can't be said of any of the other people, God knows.
Yeah.
I mean, Michelle Bachmann has an organization of voices in her head. And Tim Pawlenty has a bunch of sockless, recent college graduates going door to door to Iowa saying, hey, is he my best? Where's my bed?
Charlie Pierce, author of Idiot America from the Boston Globe. See you next week, honey.
See you guys.
All right.
Yay.
All right. 47 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 52 minutes after the hour. We are moments away.
Oh, my God.
From the return of Tuesdays with Tyler, Aisha. Tyler joins us live in studio. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Oh, well, Chris, the only thing I really hope for is it isn't somebody saying that calling Paul Ryan's budget serious.
Right.
Because you know that'll make me lose my... Particularly if it's someone like Bill Kristol that's always wrong about everything.
Paul Ryan has laid out a plausible, serious, substantive budget for the future. The president is walking away, apparently, this week from his budget that he introduced just two months ago. The entire government worked for months to produce this huge document, and now he's giving a speech in response to Paul Ryan and saying, well, forget about that budget we introduced in mid-February. Here's a new attempt to counter Paul Ryan.
Yeah. No, else is serious? A heart attack?
Yes. Yes.
So it doesn't mean it's good.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. I brought this up with Chris Christie. He's so refreshing. Like, what? Anyone can blurt out really bad ideas. No. Oh, well, isn't that different and courageous and
whatever?
Wow, awful.
I think we should set all the homeless people on fire.
Boom!
Get rid of them.
That's refreshing.
Yeah, I said it. Boom! And I did not vaporize into the car. But
and then we should invade Poland. Just
boom!
For the heck of it.
Huh? Boom! Nothing but air. Net. Nothing but net. That's what I meant.
Nothing but air?
Okay. I got my sports analogy wrong. I apologize.
When is it good to say nothing but air?
I say we take a sledgehammer to Medicare and Social Security. Boom!
Then a baseball bat. Oh!
Oh, there, I said it. Okay.
When did Andrew Dice Clay become the governor of New Jersey?
on the Stephanie Miller Show. Okay. It's in our rendition of him.
Hickory dickory dock.
Oh, no.
I am a great big... All right. Let's, Peter... Hey, speaking of which, Peter Johnson on...
Of the Penis Museum?
Peter Kelly,
the Icelandic. All right, never mind.
He's serious about getting reelected. That's what he's serious about. And I think what he witnessed is John Boehner leading the greatest intervention in American history, an intervention for debt and spending-addicted Congress and White House, and now a president saying, God, I better respond. I'm never going to win the Tea Party over, but if I give the veneer of accepting some of the things that they say, then I've got a greater chance to recapture a lot of the independent voters that I lost that I had in 2008.
Mm. Yeah, and you'll lose all the progressive voters.
Yep.
So, yes, the president's spending like a drunken sailor, unlike that George Bush who...
Who spent like a drunken sailor.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way...
That is the shaver part.
By the way, speaking of Fox and Friends, so you know the hilarious Saturday Night Live sketch?
Yes.
Skitch?
Skitch.
Sketch.
Nothing but air.
Skit? Sketch. What?
Nothing but air.
Nothing but dead air.
All right. Anyway, that implies that they tend to get things wrong.
Yeah.
Well, it's normally things are funny because they're true. Did you see on Saturday's Fox and Friends, Steve Doocy and Brian Kilmeade attempted to dismiss the importance of Planned Parenthood funding by claiming that services like pap smears are available at Walgreens?
But
in response, a Walgreens spokesperson said, they do not offer such services, wow. You morons.
It's not like a flu shot. You have to actually get up in the stirrups.
Yeah.
I researched it yesterday.
Yeah. I need some more Advil. And where am I getting the stirrups here? What a bunch of morons.
I researched what a pap smear was yesterday.
They responded to Harry Reid by dismissing Planned Parenthood. Steve Doocy. And the thing that was audacious was the fact he was talking about Planned Parenthood being this great provider where women can get blood pressure checks and pap smears and breast... Brian Kilmeade, which you can get in Walgreens. Doocy.
Yeah, it's right by the ice cream counter.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Wow, it's just like the sketch.
Here's our new co-host, Kathy Durr.
I say to the Republican leadership... Take off your lace panties. Stop being
noodlebacks. We're going to ask Aisha Tyler when the last time is she got a pap smear at Walgreens.
I dare say that Brian Kilmeade and Steve Doocy don't know what a pap smear is.
That's right. Mm.
Just like me yesterday.
All right. Lou Dobbs.
Well, when the president talks about shared responsibility, he's got speech writers for $150,000 a year. You know, we should have a very simple rule in the federal government. If you're not smart enough to prepare a speech without the help of a speechwriter, they probably ought to just shut up.
Oh.
Would that be a cost-effective measure?
Is he telling the president to shut up?
Wow. Yeah, because no other presidents have ever had speechwriters, clearly. Right, Peggy Noonan?
Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh.
Intellectually, you and I know that the Democrat Party and the mainstream media hate John Boehner. Just as though they would hate any Republican leader. They hated Reagan. It's nothing personal with Boehner. They just hate him. Democrats, media, liberals hate us. They fear us more than they fear Al-Qaeda. They think we are the biggest enemy they face.
Well, you're the biggest enemy.
When it comes to landmass, yes.
You're talking about sheer taking up space.
Right. He's the biggest enemy.
Yeah, we hate you.
Yeah,
but
if you have to use a tape measure, yes. Which I had to do. I was an exercise instructor once in college at a fitness spa.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was your first job, was measuring
the girth.
Larger people that came in. Yes.
Wow.
Okay.
Did you give him pap smears after that?
Yes.
Get up in the stirrups.
I'm fully qualified. 58 minutes after the hour, Jim will give Aisha Tyler one next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. We're just getting the stirrups ready. 6 minutes after the hour, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out a week from Saturday. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show, starring Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang. Hits Madison, Wisconsin. Tickets are almost gone. Go to BarrymoreLive.com. Check it out. Speaking of sexy liberals, I am almost unnaturally excited about this.
Aisha Tyler, actress, author, and activist.
So if today's Tuesday, it gives us
Tuesdays with Tyler.
Aisha Tyler. Good morning, Aisha Tyler, my BFF.
Hello, my dearest, dearest Stephanie.
I am such a loser. I missed you so much.
Oh, I missed you, too. It's been a void, a terrible void in my life, which I filled with alcohol, by the way.
Me, too.
It's really very effective at that.
You've been off being fabulous, shooting something in Canada.
I was
Canada.
Shooting something. It wasn't porn. Yes, I did. I was doing, no matter what anybody says on the internet, I know, or what anybody's wishing for in the studio.
It was some serious project.
It was an action project.
It was at the Icelandic Penis Museum,
oh,
wasn't
God.
It?
Oh, God. We can talk about that momentarily, but that's going to be seared into my subconscious very deeply for a long time. I was in Canada doing an action series with Stuart Townsend, the awesome actor, and shooting stuff, blowing stuff up, jumping all around.
Oh,
and
cool.
it was so great. Really, you know, other girls dreamed about ponies. I dream of blowing crap up. That's really, I was like, this is the greatest day ever.
You're the most glamorous person I know.
I don't know about all that.
Smart and beautiful and funny and yet successful and
strangely
masculine.
I wish
I could hate you. I so wish you were a bitch.
I'll work on that. I do look like a bit. Sorry, hello internet. I do look a bit douchebaggy this morning because I have no makeup on. This is Hollywood maquillage when you get up in the morning and you're like sunglasses, lip gloss, done, baby. Let's do this.
She's like, what a Hollywood douchebag. I have my sunglasses on.
That's it, because I can't take them off, because otherwise you'd be like, oh, RuPaul is in the studio. That's nice.
I remember when I had my last disastrous late night TV show, one of the Corys showed up and wore sunglasses the whole interview.
The whole time.
And I thought, what a Hollywood douchebag.
It's douchebaggery. I do apologize. It is really necessary to protect the people on the internet from seeing me. You know, it's like looking into the Ark of the Covenant. You'll all burn. Yes. Flesh will be peeled back from your face. You'll be cleansed alive if you see me without makeup. So.
And Jim, Aisha Tyler looking bad is to most people, is most people,
a thousand times
better than you will ever look.
No. And I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy you're here, too.
Excited to be back in the sunshine.
You can tell you've been in Canada because you use fancy words like maquillage.
Maquillage, yes. Again, douchebaggery. I'm going to just apologize this whole hour for every douchebaggy thing that comes out of my mouth. So sorry.
You were also on the wildly popular animated series Archer.
Archer, yay! On FX. And it's we're so proud of the show. I don't know if you guys know, but it's an animated show. It's kind of a cross between James Bond and The Office, if people in The Office cursed all the time. and it's just the best show ever. Jessica Walter is on it. H. John Benjamin, Chris Parnell, Judy Greer, amazing cast. And we just got our third season order, so we're so happy. And we're doing 16 episodes next season instead of 13.
Oh, awesome.
Which means I'll get paid an extra, like, $45. So I'm really excited about that. Going to take that down to the El Pollo Loco and go nuts.
We were talking about... we were talking about how people's perception of that, you know, oh, you must, you know, you've been on Tonight Show? Did they pay you $1 million?
That was my, somebody literally said to my sister, I saw your sister on the Tonight Show, did she get $1 million? And why hasn't she bought you a jet?
Yes.
As I tell your friend, I got a ride to the Tonight Show and a sandwich. That's what they paid me.
Yes.
Well, you can have one cocktail, but the second one will cost you. It's like being in the economy on the plane. You get one tiny bottle of wine, but the next one's going to be $15.
Get one drink maximum.
And we were saying people even think that. When I go do stupid cable news, I'm right. Like, I don't.
Like,
I get
it
a car ride.
Hundreds of times. Didn't they give you a gold bar? Didn't Larry King pull out one of his doubloons from his giant clown pockets and give it to you?
You were saying they frequently call you and say, can you be here in 37 minutes?
Oh, that's, yeah, perfect.
And you normally say?
Well, they call. This is the thing, is that they don't just call, like, at the last minute. They call, like, it, like inside the last minute. Can you be down at CNN in 37 minutes to speak authoritatively on the new budget proposal? And you're like, well, I'm in the bath masturbating, but let me see what I can do. Sploosh, 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 sploosh. And we'd also like you to be hair and makeup ready. Can you be camera ready when you get here? You're like, oh, God.
So,
right.
It's not
glamorous, people. It's not beautiful.
So, and it's like there's something about Mary. There's a little soap on one side of your hair and a little bit of those.
Exactly. The front, you've got bangs. The bangs are done. But in the back, it's just like a hobo's dreadlock is forming. And yes, and there is like soap and like mousse falling down the back.
I don't have the glamorous life you do, so I'm like, free false eyelashes? So... I'll be right there.
That is exciting because then you leave and you peel them off and put them in the drawer for later, baby. You can wash those off.
The drag queens aren't the only one.
The
hair and makeup guy on MSNBC, which is on a bit of a budget, actually asked me that. I did an appearance 2 months later, and he said, did you bring the eyelashes back?
I also brought back my styrofoam cup that I drank coffee out of 2.5 months ago. You,
all right, Aisha Tyler. I don't know why. I just they sent me your whole resume. And
why did this happen?
Things
no, I don't.
Pop out at me.
Okay.
You were in 2000s Dancing in September. You played the woman with
Weave. Woman with Weave, ladies and gentlemen. High point of my career. If you really want to know, if you really want to see just deep method, just rich,
yes,
just devoted method acting, check out my 17 seconds on camera. Woman
yes.
with Weave.
Yes.
Dancing with September.
Which
it's a classic.
I'm told does not compare to your appearance as Josie in Moose Mating in 2001.
Yes. Also quite artsy. That was a play that the director, who I love personally, is a great guy, tried to make into a movie. And what we learned is that not all plays should be movies.
Yeah. And I'm not accusing you of...
They don't all translate. No.
I'm not accusing you of porn in 2007, but Mahogany and Balls of Fury.
Oh, now, yes. That was a legitimate film of high pedigree. I was very porn-like. That was actually with Chris Walken. I played Chris Walken's sidekick.
Wow.
Yes, and it was awesome. I get to be with Chris Walken all day, every day. I literally stared like an eyeball laser hole into the side of his face.
I'm told that movie only did one thing.
Stop staring at my face.
Did I ever do my...
I had some cowbell.
I cannot do Chris, not even a morsel as well as you've just
like
done
him. I would like it if you did Chris.
I'm going to try to do Chris. Chris was amazing, and he told amazing stories, you know, because he would talk about, you know, Brando and Pacino. And you do impressions of these guys that he clearly developed hanging out with them, which is like the most amazing thing.
Any story Christopher Walken tells would be creepy.
Just
because of the way.
Disturbing. You know what I mean? But like wonderfully disturbing. You know what I mean? Like foie gras ice cream or something like that. You're like, I don't understand why this is tasting good. So, but my favorite story of his, I can't even tell. This is, I'm going to make it as short as possible.
All right.
He's got him and one of the other actors on the movie whose name I can't remember right now, but it was in, he was big in the 70s. It'll come to me later. Everybody, IMDb it and then text. So there's the Italian guy was in the movie. I can't think of his name. And Chris is telling the story about this actor they both knew in New York who was gay when they were growing up. And then apparently he went to like gay camp or something like that and he got ungay. So we're all talking about how ridiculous it is that you can't get ungay yourself at camp. That's where you actually get gay. Camp is perfect for actually, you know, gaying it up, you know. And
that makes you gayer than a s'more.
I mean, you know, everybody was gay at camp. I was gay at camp. I mean, you know, why not? I mean, that's what camp is all about, you know, s'mores and gayness. So
I didn't think I could love you anymore.
so So then they're talking about the guy, and he's like, and so Chris is like, you can't undate yourself at camp. That's ridiculous. He says, however, there is a pill.
There is a pill.
I take it every day. I'm a terrible, I do a terrible walking. But you got to remember, you can't miss a pill, because if you do, wow.
Wow.
So that's the only word I can really do is Chris. Oh, wow.
Just Chris
wake
walking.
Up in a Jersey bathroom hugging the toilet. What happened? So I loved him.
Just
and
Chris
I just,
for fucking saying wow.
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 And I
wow.
came, and every night I would come home from the movie going, and then Chris said this, and then Chris said that, and then Chris said, I had ice cream sundaes. My husband was like, do I need to be worried? I was like, am I Chris walking? Probably not. But it was very, we were like BFFs. I loved him. He's so awesome. So
that
great.
That is a fabulous story. All right. Now, I did ask you to be here in 17 minutes to talk about the budget. We were
yes.
in the midst of a right-wing world.
Oh,
and,
no.
Oh, and if you watch Fox and Friends, apparently you can get a pap smear at Walgreens.
Oh, my God. Did they really say that?
Yeah. Yeah, we don't need Planned Parenthood because you can get that.
Sure,
right
sure. Just,
yeah,
yeah, just come over here. Yes, yeah, so by the square ice cream cones. Just yeah. spread them spread them over here by the Kodak film machine that's set up on here. When it's not making prints, it's doing pap smears. Stick your breast in the hole. It'll give you a mammogram while you're at it. Oh, come on.
Can I get some thrifty ice cream?
Are people?
While,
yes,
I'm,
exactly.
while I'm choosing, let me just put my
well, distract you with the square ice cream cone while you put your feet in the stress. How can they be that dumb? How? I mean, it's literally, I can't even be angry. I'm baffled.
Yes.
I'm literally bewildered by that, yes. by that level of dumbness.
Yes. Well,
yes.
And
they don't know what a pap smear
no, well, this is.
No,
this is the level of debate we're at. You know, John, what was his name? Cornyn goes on TV during the budget debate and says, well, Kyle, and says, well, 90% of what Planned Parenthood does is abortion.
Yeah. Oh,
well,
yeah. When it's 2%.
3%, actually. And so his office then was contacted, and he said, well, he didn't mean it to be a factual.
No. It was just a metaphorical. Metaphorical abortions.
Lie.
Yes.
Metaphorical lie.
Metaphorical lie. It's an abstract lie. Versus
lie.
The literal concrete lies
meant
that
to
I normally tell
it. The debate. Yes.
It's amazing because I was on this little Twitter battle over the weekend with a couple. You know, here, I have to stop engaging people.
Yes.
This is the moral of my story. Stop tweeting back.
This is why we have you on our show, because we always get you in trouble.
I do, and then I, you know, like I say one thing on the show, and then wait till I get home. The crazy,
they're
going to creep out of the internet.
Oh, Michelle Malkin is perched.
That'll be the fun conversation. That'll be the good one.
Michelle Malkin is perched with a transcriber.
Oh, she's just waiting. She's waiting with an assistant. Say this, and then she slaps them in the head with a banana or something like that. I don't know why she has a banana. I don't know what that means. Her flying monkeys are all on the internet. But it was like you start to have this conversation with people where you try to be reasonable, and then you realize that they are not reasonable people, and you can't, like, you just get tired. Like, I don't even get angry. I'm like, oh, God, I'm so bored. I just feel like I bang my head against a digital wall for 17 hours trying to explain to people that, like, well, they're like, they don't really provide health services. Sure, pelvic exams aren't real medicine. No, finding tumors and, you know, yeah, that's just fake medicine. Boogie, boogie, cancer comes from chewing gum and being gay. Like, whatever they're thinking, you know what I mean?
You have your period. Here's some leeches.
No, it's not leech. Don't be ridiculous. They just put you in the red tent with the other unclean women.
All right.
Down at the drugstore. Go down to Walgreens. They put you all in the red tent where you can have your pap smears as a group for your unclean
right.
days.
Judge Napolitano, who's apparently taking over for Glenn Beck.
Fox News contributor and my good friend and Tea Party Nation founder, Judson Phillips. Judson, to you first, from the Tea Party's point of view. And you know, and Kirsten knows, and the folks watching us know, that I am one of you. Did the president cave, or did Speaker Boehner cave with this $38 billion cut in the 11th hour on Friday night?
Wow. I mean,
I fell asleep.
I know. This is like this parallel universe. Rush Limbaugh says the Republicans caved. And I mean, we're going, what? They got more?
Yeah, they got way more.
Although, they asked,
I mean, the thing about the Republicans is they believe so deeply in their superiority that anything less than 100% for them is a failure, right? And good, let them go home and lick their wounds and cry about how they failed. The fact of the matter is, Obama inherited a jacked up hoopty with one tire. He's got to at some point change the oil and replace the tires. Just the fact that the Republicans are like, we didn't get all four tires, you know what I mean? Like, we all know we've got a job to do here. Yeah. The last guy completely crapped the bed, someone's got to wash the sheet. sheep. The president has to wash the sheep. Unfortunately, the guy left the hotel room, and now Obama's in there in his apron and his little maid outfit, and he's got to clean the room. And there's nothing to be done about that.
I love you in such a camp way. I wanted to go to gay camp with you.
Oh, yeah, I smell s'mores.
19. What's gayer than arts and crafts?
Really,
isn't that the
nothing.
Whole point of camp?
We are going to bedazzle the crap out of some stuff. I'm going to have a jean jacket with like a mouse on the or heart or lips with lipstick. That's what we're
going to
do.
Jim Ward is going to give Aisha Tyler a pap smear and then bedazzle it during the break. We
bedazzle
will be right back.
With only the tools God gave me.
So upset.
We're having too much fun. Right back with Tuesdays with Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See? We're having a nice time.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
In light of the recent bedbug media frenzy that has all of us nervous, you need to know that bedbug prevention and eradication relief are available. So let's not all freak out. All you need is Best Yet from Cedarside.com. Did you know that the only thing Cedarside's Best Yet will kill faster than fleas are bedbugs, including eggs and larvae? For bedbug relief, all you need is Best Yet Bedbug Killer Spray and the Cedarside Fogger Machine. Best Yet was developed at the request of the USDA for our military as a solution for killing sand fleas. But guess what? It's equally deadly to bedbugs, larvae, and eggs, while completely safe and non-toxic to people, pets, and our planet. Best Yet from Cedarside allows you to get rid of bedbugs without the high costs and nerve toxic poisons from exterminators. If you have bedbugs, you need Best Yet Bedbug Killer Spray and the Cedarside Fogger Machine. Go to Cedarside.com. That's CEDARCIDE.com. Or call 800-842-1464. That's 800-842-1464.
Stephanie Miller.
Woohoo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 25 minutes after the hour, in the midst of Tuesdays with Tyler, Aisha Tyler. Jim Ward has completed her pap smear and bedazzled it and has taken it to the laboratory. We'll get the results back to you.
Healthy as bunnies.
Paula writes, Steph, many times I stood and waited for the clerk to come to the register at Walgreens. Now I know they're finishing up a pap smear. I won't be upset anymore.
Oh,
there you
God.
Go.
Mm. You laugh literally to keep from a vein bursting in your head and giving you an aneurysm.
Yes.
It's so upsetting.
You were making the point during the break, which many people, I mean, it's so counterintuitive. Defunding Planned Parenthood would increase abortions.
There have been several studies that have proven that if you defund Planned Parenthood, abortions in this country will go up. And the president, I think, articulated this perfectly when he was campaigning. Yeah. But, you know, there's been, you know, then after that, America blew up and leaked oil and, you know, peed on itself. And so we had to focus on other things. But the way that you reduce, it's so counterintuitive for that side. The way that you reduce unwanted abortions is by reducing unwanted pregnancy. And the way you reduce unwanted pregnancy is by giving women access to free health care that provides birth control. I mean, there's just no simpler way to put it.
Yeah.
And it's really easy when you're sitting on a couch in some news show and, you know, you're wearing $500 shoes and you're being, you know, driven around in a rickshaw by a boy that you imported from Malaysia, who's really happy to be here, by the way. I mean, we're giving him so many benefits that he would have had otherwise. He's almost like a son, except when I have to ask him to clean the bathroom. That most women do not have health insurance. Many poor women do not have health insurance, and they don't have access to these services. And also, they provide cancer screening. They provide
That's
HIV
right.
screening. I mean, come on. It's like, use your brain.
Yep.
Read.
I love this story from the AP. It seems the president may have outsmarted the boner. Close look at the government shutdown dodging agreement to cut federal spending by $38 billion reveals lawmakers significantly eased the fiscal pain by pruning money left over from previous years and using an accounting sleight of hand going after programs President Obama had targeted anyway.
Yeah, that's easy. It's
Such
easy.
Moves prevented Obama to save favorite programs, Pell Grants for poor college students, health research and Race to the Top aid for public schools, among others, from Republican knives. So, and we'll see what he lays out tomorrow night. But, I mean, apparently tax cuts for the rich are going to be back on the table. Yay.
Oh, God. Yeah. What is happening? What is happening? Yeah. I want to come up with something pithy right now, but I'm too busy weeping on the inside.
That's all right. Hey, at least we could. Let's finish up right when we're on. Glenn Beck on the radio.
I believe that my country is under attack and that man's freedom, as we understand it, is over.
All right, then. At least we have one scalp. That is Glenn Beck's television show.
I don't miss him. I don't miss him at all. Mainly because his show had started to kind of repeat itself. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was like the Glenn Beck remix. Everyone's trying to get me. Boo hoo hoo. As he sits on a pile of money. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I always love this kind of counterintuitive thing where you have like these guys that are watching a show and it's just this guy was like a jillionaire.
Right.
You know what I mean? And again, is riding on you know, not even on a rickshaw. That would be too easy.
No.
He's like on one of those dais, like, you know, where the guys there's no wheels. They just have to carry on their shoulders with sticks. And you know what I mean? Like every day to and from work, like, you know, 18 poor brown people from somewhere. He doesn't know where, just where brown people come from. Carry him to him from the studio, and then he sits on a pile of money and cries about how America isn't going the way he wanted it to. Boo hoo, mother freaking who.
It's so lonely in show business. Yes. And there's like somebody doing his hair and his makeup.
Yes,
and
exactly.
His pedicure.
I have two fewer gold doubloons than last week because America's under attack. I mean, it's just... Oh, come on. But,
buddy,
you know, why did he go away, really? Like, at first he was on top,
crazy.
And then, yeah, he's off.
If crazy and repetitive.
Wouldn't it be great if he announced that he was running?
Buddy, he was running for, man. Buddy in Columbus, real quick, with an update on Wisconsin. Hi, Buddy, go.
Hey, real fast, is Aisha looks beautiful. I love the way she wears her glasses on her nose, on her face. and the jacket is over her T-shirt.
20
she
seconds.
Rocks.
Thank you.
But also, in Wisconsin, there's Catherine Nichols, in 2006, she was able to produce 20,000 more votes than ballots cast in her county.
She's like magic.
Was that just recently?
No, it just happened recently, but she's been done this before.
Yeah,
so.
and she worked for the judge who...
Yes
she's awesome.
Right back with Ari Berman of The Nation next.
Do you two have to imitate everything you see on...
Stephanie Miller.
We're 12, so yes.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Melanie writes, Steph, can't science find a way for you and Aisha Tyler to somehow produce a child together? How amazing, smart, sexy, hilarious would that kid be? Well, Aisha would bring all that, and then I would just bring the geek part.
Oh, no, you bring the smart and the lovely and the funny and the edgy. What?
I don't think your husband, who you call your the cracker that you like, would like that idea.
No, I think he's attached. He's become very attached to me at this point. What was this woman's name? Who just wrote
this is Melanie.
Melanie,
yes.
What I want you to do is I want you to go into your kitchen, reach into your refrigerator, get out two eggs, and bang them together. See what happens.
See what happens. Just a big mess. You know, I bet DNA splicing, I bet you we can get that done at Walgreens.
I saw that movie. Oh, at Walgreens. Exactly. We're going to drop off two ova.
Listen,
like a pap smear and a
freakish
baby. We
had our pap smear here last week. We were wondering, does any way to DNA splice our eggs together?
There's a guy back there like eating a cheesesteak. Sure, let me wash my hands.
Oh, I will tell you the dream I do have.
Oh.
You know, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show, the comedy tour, is starting
a
week from Saturday in Madison, starring Hal Sparks and John Fugelsang. What is my dream, Chris? That Aisha Tyler does a special appearance on some show, maybe the L.A. version.
Wow. You know what? If I'm available.
All right.
I'm looking at her. No, I'd love to do a show. I'd love
just
to.
A special guest just star.
Yes, we may be announcing an L.A. date sometime soon.
I understand. So. There's all sorts of things
you
in the world.
Let me know, and I will live it up, man. I'm going to come out in Birkenstocks and reeking of wheatgrass shots and Prius air. Just bring it on. I will live it up. I will be so Libby.
It might be too much for people. The Aisha Tyler, Hal Sparks, and John Fugelsang.
Yeah.
It might be too much.
I love
you. You know,
both
you can't cross.
Men.
Don't cross the sexy streams because.
Right,
it's, listen.
Oh, yes. All keep right. The streams separated. We have like a palate cleanser in between. We'll just run some Glenn Beck, some vintage Glenn Beck clips, like our just, you know, kind of with some like wistful music and like with that beautiful little filter on the lens. Would be nice. Yeah,
all
just
right.
Like that. Just beautiful.
Listen, we have, speaking of smart and sexy, my goodness, Ari Berman from The Nation, author of Herding Donkeys, The Fight to Rebuild the Democratic Party and Reshape American Politics, joins us now. Hey, Ari.
Hey, you're too kind. Thank you.
Aw, we're so
maybe Planned Parenthood can help you with that earlier problem with their
yes.
2X. Yeah, Ari, what we were saying, like, how do you, I mean, Herding Donkeys is a great title because you're fighting people that will admit that they will lie on television to win an argument. Is it John Kyle, right? Goes on television, says 90% of what Planned Parenthood does is abortion, which, of course, 2 or 3% is, as we all know.
I think it's south of 3%.
Yeah. And his office says, it wasn't meant to be factual, what Senator said.
It was an allegory.
Remember in, during the Bush years when there was the quote-unquote reality-based community, right? I mean, if you believed in facts and science and things like that, you were just, you know, quote-unquote reality-based as opposed to the alternative. And that's sort of what it felt like last week, where not only was the argument that we were having factually incorrect, but we were having the entirely wrong argument when it came to the budget itself. And, yeah. And so it was like a sideshow and an inaccurate sideshow at that.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was like
but
being
I mean,
upside down on your house and being like, I'm going to give up coffee one day a week. How about that? You know
yeah.
what I mean? That's going to make a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to save my house. Only coffee on the weekends. No weekdays. That's going to make a difference.
Come so, on. All right, what, I mean, somebody wrote a, you know, it intended to be a facetious letter about how Democrats negotiate, and they said, look, we should demand the Eisenhower tax rates, and then maybe we'll end up with the Reagan tax rates.
Seriously, I mean, maybe we need to go back to 70%, and then Obama can compromise at 25%.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, because this is the bigger issue, is that, you know, we've been having, I think, the wrong debate on the economy for quite some time. I mean, the GOP in the 2010 election had this last-minute sudden conversion to fiscal conservatism mm-hmm. After spending wildly during the Bush years on pretty much everything. And then what happened was the Democrats, after losing in the 2010 election, said, okay, well, we might not totally agree with them, but we need to adopt this framing, too, to appear politically prudent in the eyes of the electorate and to get back to the sort of fiscal conservatism that marked the Clinton years. And so basically what that's meant is that, you know, as the GOP lays out a series of more and more conservative policy proposals, the Democrats say, okay, well, we'll meet you midway on this, and then the GOP just keeps dragging the center to the right.
Yeah,
first,
Ari,
this negotiation, and now with Paul Ryan, and the administration yeah. really has no alternative message they're laying out.
This is the problem when you're trying to be reasonable with unreasonable people.
Right, but that's
exactly,
what I'm saying. But is the president...
Everyone ends up unreasonable as a result.
But is the president smart or not to let Paul Ryan go first? Because we were saying that the press keeps saying, oh, this is so serious. This is so refreshing. I mean, it literally, Ari, it's like, I think we should light old people on fire. And the press goes, well, that's a serious proposal. It's like, you know.
The press coverage of Paul Ryan has just been appalling. I mean, I can't believe the extent to which he's been described as brave and serious and bold and courageous. I mean, basically.
Well, but the flip side of those words is crazy, nutball,
yes.
radical. I mean.
Listen, he did the Democrats a favor by going first, despite all the media coverage that he's gotten, the loving media coverage, because I think when people look at his plan, it does prove to be truly radical, but that message is only going to stick if Democrats and the Obama administration make it. If Obama then validates what Obama's doing and say, well, I might not agree with all of it, but it's a good starting point, then Ryan gets a lot more legitimacy than he deserves, mm-hmm. and he's going to push the center even further to the right. And what I'm a little concerned about is tomorrow when Obama gives a speech on the deficit, he's going to use the Simpson-Bowles Deficit Commission, which is already a pretty center-right policy proposal, as his framework. So the debate's going to be between a center-right policy proposal and a radical right-wing one, and there's not a whole lot of room for even sort of a centrist proposal. It's certainly not a progressive one as part of that discussion.
But do you think he's choosing to start with that framework as a way to defray criticism from the right when they're saying you're not taking any of our ideas? He's like, no, I have taken your ideas.
He's already taken their ideas, mm-hmm. though, in this budget compromise. He already took their ideas by extending all of the Bush tax cuts.
Right.
He already took their ideas by having a freeze on federal workers. I mean, he's done this over and over and over again. How much more?
Yeah.
Well, but Ari, he's winning on the politics of it. You know, CNN poll out today, 60% of, you know, polls are in favor of this budget compromise and give the president and Democrats more credit for avoiding a shutdown than Republicans.
But Obama's numbers themselves are not ticking upward as a result. And so I think this is a short-term
is that true?
Tactical victory. Yeah, I mean, that same poll showed that he was under 50% for the first time. So, I mean, this is a short-term tactical victory, and I think the longer he plays on the GOP's turf, I think the harder it's going to be for him to get his own numbers up and have a message that leads him into 2012 and can distinguish him from the Republicans. Republican.
So he needs to reframe the debate tomorrow night. What do you want to hear him say?
I would like him to talk about jobs and talk about economic growth and lay out a vision for, you know, how the deficit fits into that. But basically, the analyses of the House Republican budget were that it would pretty sharply impact economic growth. The president adopted a lot of the GOP's ideas, so it follows that the president's own plan may impact economic growth. The biggest problem he has, both substantively and politically, is the fact that the unemployment rate is above, 8%. It's at 8.8%. If he can't get that unemployment rate down, it doesn't matter how much he's going to cut.
Well, the only good news is the Republican field for 2012 is
barrel of monkeys.
In fact, I can tell you're exhausted from the electricity of the Mitt Romney announcement.
With able leadership, America's best days are still ahead. That's why today I am announcing my exploratory committee for the presidency of the United States.
He really had a twofer there. I mean, number one, he announced the day before the fifth anniversary of Romney Care in Massachusetts. So that was one. And then the second thing is he resurrected John Kerry's 2004 slogan, Believe in America, which goes to show you how all the inspiration of the Kerry campaign as well. And so I basically think, Romney's going to end up somewhat like Kerry did, which is the Republicans will reluctantly nominate him. He'll seem very inauthentic and wishy-washy, and he'll ultimately lose. I mean, that's basically what I think of the Romney campaign at this point.
Well, Ari, for the first time, I mean, I'm reading a story today in the paper. I mean, the Republicans are, like, openly mocking their own field. David Dreyer said, well, I thought everybody had rallied around Michelle Bachmann. That was my sense. He deadpanned.
Another
House Republican said, I'm not sure Donald Trump is the answer.
I would take any of them. I honestly would love a Trump-Bachmann ticket. I would pay money. I'm literally squirreling away my dimes right now to go to that convention so that I would never have to write another joke again. I would just take the transcript and just get up on stage and read it in like a funny voice.
Ari, The Nation does some great reporting. How are his reporters doing on the ground there in Hawaii with the whole birth certificate, do you think?
Oh, yeah, Donald Trump's reporting team. I hear they're digging up fascinating new documents every single day that's surprisingly making the Celebrity Apprentice ratings go through the roof.
But, I mean, isn't this all good news for Obama? I mean, this field really is, it ranges from a joke to a mess.
It is good news. But, I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, the patheticness of the Republican field is not an excuse for the Obama administration to have no message or narrative on the biggest issues of the day. I mean, I think they can't just hope that the Republicans will do all their work for them. At some point in time, I think the Republican field is going to get more serious. I do think that if they're so unsatisfied with their top candidates, there's going to have to be a dark horse candidate who's more serious, who emerges, whether it's Chris Christie or somebody else. I have a hard time believing the field
like
as
a dark
it is,
Clydesdale,
that way.
Right? Mm-hmm. Well, interestingly enough, in the latest CNN poll, Trump is beating Palin and Gingrich as the person people would most like to see run. And, I mean, I just, again, like, don't you just wake up some mornings and go, what country am I in? Did I fall through a wormhole in the middle of the night? I went to pee and I fell into the toilet and I woke
really,
up in a different place.
Do people think they have to choose from reality stars now? It's like, if you have to choose between Sarah Palin
and Donald
Trump.
It's literally just who do you recognize now? It's just like, I'll vote for that guy because I recognize him somehow. But wouldn't you love to see Trump in a debate? I mean, come on, this is the guy who pays people to chew his food for him.
I mean,
he's not going to learn anything.
Trump's popularity is entirely, I think, a reflection on how bad the other guys are. I mean, come on, if you had to choose between Trump, Palin, and Gingrich, you might choose Trump, too. And it just goes to show you almost also how much they hate Mitt Romney, that so many people are considering Donald Trump as the second choice.
And what about Huckabee? Like, Huckabee seems to be the front runner only because – but what's interesting is, that, like, last week during the debate, when he was the one who was saying we have to drop the Planned Parenthood provision, he was – when Huckabee is the most reasonable –
I know, you
Republican in the room? Yeah. Oh, good Lord, above in the sky.
I mean, Huckabee, I just was remembering some of the great lines Huckabee had during the last campaign saying, you know, Mitt Romney would looks like the guy who would lay you off. So I'm hoping Huckabee runs again.
But he would wear the secret undergarments while he was doing it.
Mm-hmm. Everything he would say, Ari, the only thing in my head was, yeah, but you cooked a squirrel in a popcorn popper. all right. Ari Berman, a delight as always from The Nation. We will talk to you again real soon.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right. Me too.
Wow. Oh, Lord.
I don't know if it's going to make you hotter, but tomorrow on The Big Show, Hal Sparks and the president of Planned Parenthood.
Wow. Right. Cecile Richards is going to be on. Ooh. All right. Very exciting.
46 minutes after the hour. Back with the waning moments. I'm already feeling clingy and needy.
Uh-oh.
The waning moments of Tuesdays.
It will happen again. I will call you. I promise. Maybe not right away. I will call.
45 minutes after the hour. Right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
A whole new level of disturbing.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is so upsetting. Stephanie Miller Show, 51 minutes after the hour. Oh, boy. This is a Tea Party member's worst nightmare. Two women hosting a radio show, one black, one gay. Whee!
After this, we're going to eat something made of soy. Take that.
52 minutes after the hour. All right, give us some music. Okay. Here are some Twitter tips from Aisha Tyler.
Okay. So saying I need to not engage. I love my tweets, and they're great, and my followers are amazing, and they're so wonderful and supportive. But the other day, I was tweeting about the whole Planned Parenthood issue during the budget crisis, and I get it really worked up,
yes.
And I responded to somebody. I grew up very poor. I used Planned Parenthood for basic health care for a good part of my high school life.
Right.
And no, I was not pregnant. I literally went for, like, pelvic exams and basic checkups. So
Before they were widely available at Walgreens.
Before Walgreens was even a thing, you know what I mean? And I only had a corner store in my neighborhood because I was black. You know how black people, we only have corner stores. They can't provide fresh mammograms. They only have the packaged, pre-made ones. So, and pap smears. Yes, exactly, the manufactured pap smears. So I was tweeting kind of crazily, you know, just being emotional and really, you know, engaged. I want to engage people. I want to have a real discussion about this. I tweet this woman back about Planned Parenthood, but I don't look at who she is. And then after I tweet her, I look and it's Margie Phelps. Now, I don't know if you know who Margie Phelps is, but she is literally like let me just say this, when she dies, she's going to be very surprised about what the afterlife is really like. Her website, her URL is godhatesfags.com. So I don't see that right away. And then I see it, and literally, it's like a movie scene, like the room starts spinning and I faint to the ground. And then when I get up, I have to write her and I go, I can't believe I responded to you. You get help or you're terrible. Hate you, empty woman. You are blocked.
All right.
In that voice. That was how I tweeted it. It was so sad. It was like talking to someone on the street and not realizing they're a hobo wearing one shoe.
Yeah.
And you're going to be like, wait a minute, we can't. What's okay? I'll give you a dollar, but we're not going to have a conversation. Here's some change, buddy. Buy yourself a brain. So anyway.
Oh my God.
So terrible.
Wow.
The fact that I've even validated her with my 160 characters or 140 characters.
Please take your organ out for me. This is the problem. It's not just lunatic fringe anymore. They are part of the Republican Party.
Yes, and they are yanking
lunatic fringe
terribly to the right.
Yes.
So literally, the Republican Party is validating them. They make the same mistake that I just made, which is to validate these crazy people and their crazy agenda.
Right. Well, I brought this up because it relates to the story you just told. Bachman and Gingrich, two Republican presidential candidates.
Oh, God.
In 2012, will address this anti-gay organization that's proud to be a hate group.
Oh, God.
They will address the Minnesota Family Council's annual Reconnecting Faith, Family, and Freedom fundraiser.
Oh,
it's so upsetting.
It always makes me chuckle when Newt Gingrich talks.
Here's the question
about.
I have. Log cabin Republicans want to rethink that whole thing? Hello?
They're the state's leading religious right group and has increasingly become one of the most strident opponents of anti-bullying bills. They're pro-bullying.
They're pro-bullying.
The MFC's president maintained
that those gays straight.
LGBT youth commit suicide because they live an unhealthy lifestyle.
Oh,
and that anti-bullying programs are ways to have children indoctrinated in homosexuality.
Sure.
He also criticized gay-straight alliances, saying it's sad and harmful for kids to celebrate homosexuality when, in fact, it's not a healthy lifestyle.
Oh.
He went on to claim that Matthew Shepard's murder, not a hate crime.
Oh, my God! Was that loud?
Yes. The MFC's Barb Anderson said the greatest threat to our freedom, the health, and health well-being of our children is from this radical homosexual agenda, which is just so pervasive that she considers it a badge of honor to be called a hate group.
Wow. Okay.
She also blames supporters of gay rights for school bullying, saying that they are the ones that are contributing to an atmosphere that can even increase bullying as kids get more into this kind of lifestyle. Homosexual behavior is one of the most hazardous behaviors kids can get into and start practicing.
Yes, and it's women's fault that they get sexually assaulted, and it's babies' fault that that something bad happens to babies. If you're a hungry baby in Africa, if you're starving, maybe you should get a job. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps, baby. Go get a job there in Mogadishu. Come on, go collect cans or something. It's your own fault.
What do you mean you can't afford boots?
Ridiculous. Go down to the Walgreens and get yourself a pap smear, baby. Come on. Do something with your life.
Oh, don't worry.
My face hurts.
It's only bad to be a practicing homosexual. Once you go professional, trust me, it's much easier.
Let's talk about something cheery.
All right.
I'm going to be going on tour.
Yay!
Oh, yay! It's like magic. Go ahead.
So if you want to see me act ridiculous in person instead of just on the radio, you can see me this weekend in San Francisco at Cobb's Comedy Club, the lovely Cobb's Comedy Club. Two nights only right now, kids. We may add a third night but because these shows are about to sell out. So get your tickets right now.
Listen up, Green 960 listeners.
Yes,
out there.
You can visit me at AishaTyler.com. Or you can go to Steph's Facebook page or my Facebook page and find things.
Or StephanieMiller.com even.
Yes, StephanieMiller.com.
I'm one of her only two likes.
She is. She's my favorite like. And I'll be in Lexington, Kentucky in 2 weeks and in Washington, D.C. in about 6 weeks.
Ooh.
I am adding new dates all the time. So come visit me at AishaTyler.com. Come follow me on Twitter. Oh, and I'm actually doing a very special show in L.A. One night, it's called the Super Serious Show. It's going to be me and Tom Lennon from Reno 911 and a bunch of other really funny people, and you can also find information for that twitter.com, facebook.com, or just Google Super Secret Show. That's a very special show, and it's very small. It only has 150 seats.
Wow.
So if you want to get tickets, get them tickets right now.
She's almost blinding in person. I suggest 3D glasses. She's brilliant and sexy and hilarious and smart.
I'm friendly. And I also curse.
No, yes. Yes. And as I've mentioned, she does not even have the decency to be a biatch, so we can hate
no,
her.
No, wouldn't that be nice if I was just to see you next Tuesday?
Not just wildly professionally successful, but personally married how long?
OMG, I'm going to date myself. I'm about to have my 19th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations.
And I've been married for 19 years her cracker.
Take that. Now, I have a lot of Republican friends, but for all those that think that us libs don't believe in matrimony, I married my college sweetheart. I've been with him for 20-something years since we've met. Yes, and
I need to go start drinking.
And
I
love being married. I love the institution of marriage. I like doing it with my husband. We do it inside of our marriage.
Oh,
and then we eat dinner.
Get that in the thought bubble. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Love you guys.